It's a basic tenet of the universal law of attraction that whatever you are seeking is also seeking you. Somewhere on some level, whether conscious or unconscious, you have been seeking a breakthrough in your life, an event, an action, an experience to catapult you to a whole new level of achievement, abundance, and personal fulfillment. Today, that breakthrough has found you. Welcome to Claim Your Power Now. There's a certain power that enables some people to achieve incredible things. A power that seems to make them invincible to adversity, fear, doubt, and failure. Maybe you've seen people who possess this power and wondered where they got it and why you don't have it. The fact is that you do. That power doesn't come from without. The seed of it is residing within you right now. To experience the full transformational force of this power, all you have to do is activate it. And over the course of the Claim Your Power Now series, that is exactly what you're going to learn to do. The program you're about to listen to is not simply another motivational seminar. Make no mistake, you will be motivated, inspired to reach for and achieve dreams that may have seemed impossible, even unthinkable before now. But beyond mere motivation, Claim Your Power Now has been designed to give you the information and tools that will empower you to not only envision your new reality, but to actually begin creating it starting today. As you listen, you're going to uncover a simple, proven, step-by-step system you can apply immediately to create profound, measurable transformations across the entire spectrum of your life. From your career and finances, to your personal relationships, to your health and well-being, and more. It is a practical, comprehensive approach to positive personal transformation. And if you apply it, it will change your life, guaranteed. Your guide for this journey to inner and outer success is Vic Johnson, a man who has made the journey himself and is familiar with every twist, turn, and obstacle along the way. Today, Vic is one of the most exciting personalities in the world of personal development. A businessman and entrepreneur since the age of 23, he has founded a host of hugely popular websites, as well as a political and corporate consulting firm, whose clients included Fortune 500 companies and leaders at the highest levels of government. Vic is also an author and a motivational speaker whose profound insights, practical strategies, and down-to-earth delivery draw thousands of fans to his events. Joining Vic Johnson in his mission to help you claim your power are some of the most dynamic, captivating, and effective success minds in the world today. What's more, these are the very individuals who helped Vic on his personal journey. Their ideas moved Vic from where he was to where he is today. Now he's brought them together to do the same for you. You'll hear from Jim Rohn on developing the mindset and philosophy that will open your life to massive success. Bob Proctor delivers a captivating presentation on the diamonds to be mined from your remarkable subconscious. Lisa Jimenez offers a foolproof strategy for conquering the fears and self-limiting beliefs that hold you back from the life you dream of. Chris Guerrero gives you a crash course in energy boosting that will have you going strong all day. Jeff Keller reveals the secrets to developing the kind of unstoppably optimistic attitude possessed by all true winners. And Michael Angier will tell you how to maximize your hidden potential to experience outcomes like you've never imagined. Recorded live, these sessions capture the essence of each of these powerhouse presenters' brilliance, energy, and life-changing insight. With each one, you will add another group of amazingly effective tools to your personal success arsenal. The power to achieve everything you can dream of and more is in you this very moment. All you have to do is claim that power, and today is the day you will begin to do it. Now, here's Vic Johnson.
Well, I'm excited to see you this morning. It's fantastic. I always like to tell people before I get started a little bit about me. If you've, you know, never heard of me or you don't know who I am, I like to share a little bit about where I'm at today, a little bit about my life. And so I'll just give you the last week. We kicked off our very first Claim Your Power Now seminar in Atlanta last week to a really exciting crowd. It was an incredible day. We saw some breakthroughs, and it was a great day. So we did that event. It was phenomenal. Got up Friday morning, got on a plane, flew to LaGuardia, taking my sweetheart with me for her birthday. I had our a limo driver that I use up there, Aaron, pick us up in his big, long black stretch. Take us down to the Benjamin Hotel down on 50th and Lexington, a nice little boutique hotel. They have a pillow concierge at the Benjamin who helps you pick out your pillow that you're going to use that weekend. And they have a long list, about 20 different types of pillows. I like that long 5-foot body pillow. Yeah. We had a nice corner suite, and it was overlooking 50th Street right there in the heart of New York City, and we were right around the corner from Radio City Music Hall. Friday evening, Aaron picked us up, and we went to La Bernardine, which is one of the either number one or number four, it's kind of debated, number one or number fourth restaurant in New York City, a phenomenal, phenomenal French restaurant. 7 courses, all paired with the wine. It was magnificent. The whole weekend would have been complete if we ended it that night at the La Bernardine. But look, there was more to come. On Saturday, we went down to the third floor of the Benjamin where they have the Affinia Spa, spent 90 minutes in a hot stone massage. Woo, had a facial. I was really ugly before that. Did a little shopping Saturday afternoon. Can't go to New York City without going shopping. We went down shopping in the Diamond District. We almost bought in the Diamond District, too. We came real close, but we went shopping. We will be going back. We found a place and probably a stone we like. Took a little nap. Aaron picked us up at 6 o'clock. How many of you are Food Network fans? You've seen Bobby Flay before. We went over to Bobby Flay's Bar Americaine restaurant for pre-theater dinner, and it was awesome food. So awesome that we went back Sunday to another one of his places. And then Aaron took us to see a Broadway play, The Odd Couple, with Matthew Broderick. It was awesome. Sold out. We had tickets on about the 10th row. And then on Sunday, we got up on a leisurely Sunday, went out to the Mesa Grill, which is another one of Bobby Flay's. And then Sunday night, we went to a restaurant. There's only about 6 of them in the world. We ate at the one in Milan last year, and it's a place called Nobu in New York City. And had a wonderful, wonderful time. Monday morning, got on a plane, flew to Houston, did a great event Tuesday in Houston with my buddy Ron White. And I'm here today working with my mentor, the legend, such a big guy in my life, Jim Rohn. That's my week. Now, I don't tell you any of that to brag. And I know as I was going through there describing it, some of you are going, you just shut up. You know, I know. But I'm not telling you that to brag because I want you to know that's where I'm at today, because it'll make a lot of sense to you that 10 years ago when I was evicted from our house, our family was evicted from our home. A judge gave me 48 hours to move my family out of a house. I had no idea where we were going to go. A year later, I lost the last automobile we had. I borrowed a friend's automobile. It was a 12-year-old, ragged out, gray Dodge Lancer. I drove it for 15 months. It was one of those cars you pull up to the gas station, say, fill it up with oil and check the gas. It just blows that smoke out of the back of it the whole time. My kids loved it. They thought it was a mosquito fogger or something like that. We'd be going down the road. But it was such a small car. I'm a little bit of a big guy. I really looked like Fred Flintstone in that car, you know. It's like I was wearing the car. But I was glad to have it. But that was my life 10 years ago. It was upside down. I never declared bankruptcy, but financially, I was bankrupt. Spiritually, I was bankrupt. Mentally, physically, emotionally, in every way you can address it, I was bankrupt. And that was my life 10 years ago. So I want you to know where I'm at today and where I was at 10 years ago, because I want you to know what Claim Your Power Now is all about. It's not some philosophy. It's not some theory. It's what saved my life, literally. You'll recognize some of it. Some of it came from Jim Rohn. Some of it came from my friend Bob Proctor. Some of it came from Dennis Waitley and Brian Tracy and The Magic of Thinking Big and Napoleon Hill and As a Man Thinketh and on and on and on. You'll recognize that. What I'm going to share with you in my portion today works. It worked for me, and I have coached hundreds, if not thousands, of people in some form, fashion, or another in the last couple of years, and it's worked for them. So I start off telling you that because I want you to know what I'm going to share with you today are tools that can help you break through today. This is what a breakthrough is. I want you to recognize what a breakthrough is. I want you to acknowledge what a breakthrough is. A person's first notable success, all of you in this room had some type of success. It's probably not that. A productive insight. And I'll share with you later what my moment was. The moment in 1997 that was the turning point, a 180-degree turning point. It took place in a seminar. That's why it's so important to be at seminars. That's why it's so important that you're here today. An act or an instance of breaking through an obstruction. There's some of you that came in here today. There's a ceiling there. You've been bumping your head on it. You can't break through it. There's no reason you can't. You've created the ceiling. There is no ceiling there. It is a mirage. It does not exist. A sudden advance, especially in knowledge or technique. How many of you have ever been sitting in a Jim Rohn seminar before and go, aha? That's what a breakthrough is. That's what we're going to do today. Each and every person today, if that's what you want, if that's what you came here for, seek and ye shall find. If you expect it, you will get it. Because I know you're going to be talking to yourself as you listen to me. You're going to reject some of the stuff I say the same way I rejected it. When Jim comes up here this afternoon, you're going to reject some of the stuff he says. You're going to say, that doesn't apply to me. It all applies to you. But you're talking to yourself, say, I'm going to have a breakthrough today. Today, I'm going to ignore that. I'm not going to reject it today. Today, I'm going to open my heart. I'm going to open my mind. I'm going to have a breakthrough today. If you repeat that to yourself at the end of the day, you'll have a big smile on your face. Now, you got a little booklet called My Power Pages. A little bit different than a normal workbook. Now, I've been to a lot of seminars. I've got the nice workbooks, the 8.5-11. I went to a John Maxwell seminar one time, the most notes I ever took in my whole life. How many of you heard of John Maxwell? Ooh, what a communicator that guy is. Real simple, real direct, that's what it is. I've been to gym seminars. I've taken notes upon notes upon notes. I couldn't find those notes today if my life depended on it. I have no idea where they're at. I'd love to find them because that day they were very important, weren't they? Well, we designed this to be a little bit different. We designed this so that you can carry this around for the next 30 days, because here's what I know. I know that if you put into practice what you learn using these power pages right here, you're going to have instant, immediate success. Instant, immediate success. You'll hear me repeat this throughout the day. James Allen says, it is not possible to move within and stand still without. If you move in here, if there's growth in here, it must manifest itself on the outside. It is impossible not to. There is no way you can grow in here and not show it on the outside. It will manifest itself. So we designed this, guys, so you can stick it in your pocket, coat pocket or shirt pocket. Ladies, so it's small enough so you can stick it in a purse. Unless you've got one of those little formal purses, you know, that you take to a formal that they're not good for anything anyway. Because the guy's got to always carry your stuff anyway. Here, carry my lipstick, honey. Right? So it won't fit in one of those kind. But it'll fit in a regular purse. And here's why I want you to use it, because there's some things we're going to do as we go through here today. On the left-hand column, on a number of pages, you're going to see what I will begin today, what I will end today. There are some things you've been thinking about in your life. You know. So you came here for a reason today. When you rolled out of bed this morning, you looked outside, it was thundering and lightning, and you go, oh, I really don't want to go down to the grapevine today, even though my buddy Jim Rohn's going to be down there, or my buddy Big John. I really don't want to go down to the grapevine today. You're just like me. It'd be a nice day to sleep in, okay? But you're here for a reason. You've been seeking something. You need an answer. See, whatever you are seeking in the universe is also seeking you. The law of attraction. Whatever you're seeking is also seeking you. You're here for a reason. And you've been thinking about some things that you needed to get started on. Not today's not the first day. You've been thinking about it. What's interesting is today's the day you're going to do something about it. But it's been on your mind. So as you go through and you hear me say something, and that comes up, that thing you've been thinking about, maybe it's an exercise program that you've been putting off, but you know you should do it. Maybe it's a nutritional program, whatever it is. Maybe it's some other type of physical improvement, personal development, whatever it is. Write it down, what I will begin today. Put it in your power pages. Because if you carry this around for the next 30 days and at lunchtime or at your breaks or before you go to bed in the evening, you just review your power pages. This can be very, very powerful for you. That's why we call it power pages. What I will end today. There's some things you've been thinking about, you know. I came to a seminar in 1992, Rita Davenport. How many of you ever heard of Rita Davenport? Well, I'm telling you what, Rita Davenport saved my life in 1992. I was at a seminar, and I already knew, folks, I came in there with an idea of something that I needed to end that day, but I've been putting it off for many years. But Rita Davenport, in her presentation that evening, said something that just stunned the whole crowd. She said, smoking will cause you to go deaf and blind. And the whole audience shook their head like she repeated it. Smoking will cause you to go deaf and blind. She had everybody's attention. She had my attention because I was a three-pack-a-day cigarette smoker. I've been smoking three packs for 20 years. I don't do anything in a small way. If I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it big. Even the bad things. You know, I never smoke a pack a day. Who's sissy smoke a pack a day? I'll smoke three packs a day. I'll get to the funeral home a lot faster than everybody else. But Rita said, smoking will cause you to go deaf and blind. This crowd stopped. She came back. She said, of course it will. How else do you explain that the Surgeon General's report has been out for 33 years and people are still smoking? Now, I don't know why that struck me the way it did. My children had come home from school many, many days trying to get me to stop smoking because they put the propaganda in them at school, which is a good thing. My spouse at the time had tried to get me to stop smoking. Everyone in my family who saw my habit, the people in my office who saw my habit, tried to get me to quit smoking. And I couldn't, wouldn't, or whatever. But I came into that room knowing I should, and Rita said those words. I did not stop that day. But I made the decision to stop that day. I went home and created a plan to stop smoking. I stopped smoking about 2 weeks later on December 12, 1992. Never had another cigarette, never wanted another cigarette. I've had people blow smoke in my face. In fact, about 3 days after I quit, a lady blew smoke in my face for about an hour that I was making a presentation to. I've never wanted one, folks. I made the decision, and I did it. Because I knew when I came in the room that day, I needed to do that, and Rita put me over the top. So there's some things today you know you need to end. As you go through today, just make the decision. I'm going to do it today. Now, you may not do it today. You may not start it. You may do what I did. You may create a plan to do it. But make the decision. Make the commitment and put it in writing. Now, here's what happens. Most of the time we come in to a seminar and we sit and write down what the speaker says. Okay, if you want Jim Rohn's quotes, there's probably a book. He's got a couple of them. There's probably a book of Jim Rohn's quotes back there. You can save yourself the time to write. You can just do his quotes. I've only got about two, so I could give them to you in about 2 minutes and we'd be done. One of my quotes is, whatever Jim Rohn says is right. Okay, there's quote number one. And then whatever Bob Proctor says is right, there's quote number two. All right, so I'm done with mine. You got mine. So I don't want you to write down what I say. I don't want you to write down what Jim says. I don't want you to write down what Bob Proctor says. What I want you to write down is what you're thinking about when Jim and Bob says that. What you're thinking about when I say something, because that is what will move you to action. That's what will move you to change. What you're thinking about, what are you processing at the moment that you hear me say something? What did you think about? Now, you got an orange wristband as you came in. How many people have their orange wristbands on? Cool. Okay, I've been wearing mine for about a month to get ready for you guys. I've worn this except for when I'm asleep, and a couple nights I fell asleep and forgot it. But I've been wearing this for a month to get ready for you because this is a neat thing I stole from Bob Proctor. I've stole a lot of stuff from Jim and Bob. Don't tell them. Okay. But last year I did an event with Bob in Vegas, and they had these at the door. And everybody had, they had different colors and everything. And I thought it was such a cool idea, WAIT. Anybody know what WAIT stands for? What am I thinking? What am I thinking? Folks, That alone can be magical in your life, because the fact of the matter is, most of the time we don't spend any time at all thinking about that, do we? What am I thinking? So the purpose of the orange wristband, not only today, I hope you'll wear it beyond today. I hope you'll be sitting in a restaurant, or you'll be sitting at home and you'll look down at that orange wristband. It'll make you think, what am I thinking? Now, here's an interesting thing. We had a person in Atlanta the other day that we've had communication with since, and they told me that before they came into the seminar, they thought they were a pretty positive person. And they've been using the orange wristband to kind of monitor what they've been thinking about, found out they're thinking negative thoughts all day long. See, just because you got a big smile on your face and you're happy and, oh, the world is great and everything, doesn't mean that what you're saying to yourself up here isn't negative. Doesn't mean that it's not, that your responses aren't negative. All I want you to do is monitor what you think about. We're going to talk about changing it. But wear this wristband for a while. It's helped me a lot. And I've been doing this for quite a while. I've been a student of James Allen, As a Man Thinketh, for quite a while. You know, a lot of what Jim teaches is out of As a Man Thinketh. What Bob Proctor, Brian Tracy, Tony, I mean, any of them and all of them. It's all about the power of thought, all about the power of thinking. Earl Nightingale's, we become what we think about. We become what we think about. Anybody know what that big word is? Metacognition. Metacognition is thinking about what you're thinking about. And I laughed the first time I heard that too. Mark Chiron was on a telephone call and he said to the group on the phone, do you ever think about what you're thinking about? The fact is, you process 60 some odd thousand plus thoughts a day, and I will guarantee that you don't think about most of them. You just process them. When you begin to think about what you're thinking about, you become vigilant about that, you then can change that. Your thoughts are driving the actions that drive the results that you're getting right now. And until you change that, you cannot change the end product. Brian Tracy says, the greatest principle in the history of mankind is the principle of what? Anybody know? Cause and effect. The principle of cause and effect. Your thinking is the cause of everything, ultimately. Ultimately. And we'll really get into that heavily today. Ultimately, the cause of everything. So metacognition is thinking about what you're thinking about. Again, the purpose of the orange wristband is to get you to monitor. Okay, I look down at my wristband, I think, what am I thinking about right now? And if I was thinking about, it's the first of the month and I've got bills due, is that positive or negative? Okay. How many times a day do you think about something financially? And you don't even really realize that you're doing it. But you're thinking about some financial implication of what you're about to do or about what's taking place. And these thoughts are going through your mind all day long. Well, you noticed I walked around. I was over here for a while. I stood out in the hall for a while because I always like to see everybody as they come in. I remember the feeling. I've been to, golly, so many seminars, just like many of you have. But I like to watch people as they come in because I can tell from your posture where you're at. I can tell what kind of energy you have from the way you come in. And some of you came in this morning a little hunchback. You know, some of you came in dragging some anchors. And some of you have been dragging them for a while, hadn't you? And today's all about leaving those anchors behind and moving on. And I know because I've drug my share of them, and we want to cure that today. Now, here's what I'm a believer of. I'm a believer that a lot of where you are today, 100% is a result of what's taken place before. And here's how the masses handle their circumstances. And I stole this from Bob Proctor as well. How the masses handle circumstances. What I did 10 years ago was I looked around at my life, at my present results, obviously very unhappy. And I let that cause my thoughts. I let my results, I let where I was at create my thoughts. I responded to my present results. Do you think they were happy thoughts? No. They weren't happy thoughts at all. You know, when you have someone in your life that you have a relationship with, whether you may not have children, but you have a spouse or you have friends or you have family or whatever, and you may even be in a position of responsibility. And when you have a position of responsibility and you have to look at your children, you have to look at someone in your family, and you can't provide the basics for them, that's a pretty bad place to be in. That's how most of us handle circumstances. We look at our present results. You have to ignore your present results. You must ignore your present results. Because if you let your present results create your thoughts, those thoughts are going to create certain feelings. Those feelings are going to create a behavior. That behavior creates actions. And what do those actions do? Create more results. Are the results good or bad? Bad. See, what happened to me, a couple of things went the wrong way. I was living by the wrong principles. And then a couple of bad things happened in my life. I let that create my thoughts. I let those present results that I had influence my thinking. That created feelings, created behavior, created actions, created more bad results. And it kept getting worse, and it kept getting worse. See, that day in April, in 1996, when the judge says, 48 hours, you're out of there. When he said that, it didn't happen that day. It didn't happen that month. It didn't happen that year. That had been building for years, probably 20, 25 years, had been leading up to that moment. The way I thought, my principles, the things I did, it didn't happen that day. That was just a manifestation of all of that. So I had to do something. Now, it didn't get better from that day. I mean, it got worse because eventually I lost my car. It wasn't long after that, though. It was about 6 or 7 months after that when I had my breakthrough, and I'll share with you this morning. But that's how the masses handle circumstances. This is how the world class handle circumstances. They don't look at the present results. They have thoughts and ideas. See, you're only one idea away. I don't care where you came in today, what your circumstance is. I hope you're not where I was in 1996. But there's some circumstance in your life that you're not happy with. It might be financial. It might be spiritual. It might be in your relationships. Maybe your relationships aren't where you want them to be. It might be some physical ailment or something that you've just found out about your physical self. It might be your job. Maybe you know that they're downsizing again or whatever. It may be something about your business. You came in here with some circumstance of some kind because we're human. We always have circumstances. You're one idea away from solving that. I got to a point after I trained myself to think about what I was thinking about, to monitor those thoughts, after I trained myself that I could not let my present results influence my thinking. I got to a point that when I was faced with something, I began to think, okay, if this is a $50,000 challenge I have in front of me today, I need one $50,000 idea. Just one $50,000 idea, and I'm out of this. And then I go, God, that's a lot of money. That might be too big. I don't think I can do that. But how about 10 $5,000 ideas? I bet you I can come up with 10 $5,000 ideas or 5 $10,000 ideas. In fact, 1 year, that's literally what I did. That's how I made money 1 year. I came up with a bunch of ideas to make $5,000, $7,000, and I had about 12 or 15 ideas that most of them worked. So you're just one idea away from the circumstance you're in. Now, you can spend your time and you can spend your energy on your present results, which is what most people do, or you can spend your time and you can spend your energy right here, which is what created everything you have today anyway. Your life that you live today, you may not be too happy with it. I was not happy with it, but I created every bit of it right here. You can create the way out of your circumstance if the starting point is your ideas and your thinking that create feelings, that create actions, that produce results. If you'll just tweak that one thing, folks, where you're at today has absolutely nothing at all to do with where you can be tomorrow, a year, 5 years, 10 years. You know, I had a driver bring me over here today. It was $25 from the Grand Hyatt, and I tipped him $10, $35. Do you know 10 years ago I couldn't even have bought a ride over here? Not only could I have probably not gotten in here, but I couldn't even got a ride over here. I would have had no way to get over here. I wouldn't be staying at the Grand Hyatt. I didn't have any credit cards. They wouldn't let me keep any, which was probably a pretty good idea. Should have thought about that earlier. You know, I didn't have a checking account. If you don't have any cash, it's foolish to have a checking account. Stop and think about it. Nothing to put in it. Why should I have one? I didn't. I earned so little money in 1997, folks, I qualified for the Federal Earned Income Tax Credit, which means not only do they give you a refund of all your withholding, but they actually pay you on top of that. Now, I'll be honest, I think it's probably a form of welfare, but you know what? In 1997, I appreciated it. My kids appreciated it. Now, what's amazing is there's been days when in 1 hour I earned more than I earned in 1997 put together. I had to change the model. If I let my present results influence my thinking, I'd still be there today. If you want out of where you're at, wherever that may be, you got to quit looking at that. Forget about that. Look at the thoughts and ideas that can get you out of there and focus on that. Now, the biggest thing I had to do in order to get out of my circumstances in 1997, and I did not do it immediately, I did not want to do it, it took a long time before I came to accept it, is I had to accept 100% full and complete responsibility for the stupid mess I was in. I didn't want to. I fought it for years. I always had a reason why I was in that circumstance. My ex-spouse, the economy. Here I'm blaming the economy. Here's what's amazing. I am flat broke. How many of you men have daughters? You know what I'm talking about. I've got one daughter. She is the apple of her daddy's eye. You guys know that relationship you have with your daughter. And you know when your daughter becomes a teenager, what a big day that is. You know how that is a big transition point in her life and in your life. I was so broke I couldn't buy my daughter a birthday present on her 13th birthday. That's how broke I was. I had to accept responsibility for that. I didn't want to. In fact, it bothered me for years until one day I sat down with her. She helps me a lot in my business. And I brought up to her, I said, Victoria, I said, dear, of course, we had a big celebration for her on the 16th birthday, but on her 13th birthday, I said, Victoria, do you remember your 13th birthday? She said, oh, dear, Daddy, I remember. I said, I'm so sorry I couldn't get you anything that day. And she said, I don't remember that. She never remembered it. Here it is. It's a big burden to me. It's one of those anchors that I'm pulling around. Oh, my gosh. See, there's a lot of things that you've done that you're pulling around and nobody else remembers it. They done forgot about it. You look back here, that's a big old anchor back there, and you're pulling it around. One of them is accepting responsibility, folks. You can undo a lot of anchors right now. You can cut those anchors if you just accept 100% responsibility for your circumstance, no matter what it is. See, right there in the middle of the 1990s, I'm flat broke. I can't buy my daughter a birthday present because I got no money. And we're in the middle of the largest economic expansion in the history of mankind. There was more wealth created in the mid-1990s, especially in Florida. People are making millions and billions all around me. And I look everywhere and I can't see anything but lack. I can't see money anywhere. I can't see anything. Because I'm always blaming somebody else, or something else, or the circumstance, or whatever. I had to accept 100% responsibility. Now, I'll tell you this. It was painful to look at my life and say, this, I got my family in this situation. Pack up in 48 hours with no place to go. I'm responsible for that. God, that hurt. You know, to have to go without a car until I borrowed one, that hurt. But the day that I took responsibility for all that, the day that I accepted it and said, it's your fault. You created that right here. You created every bit of it. Was also the biggest day of freedom in my life. The single biggest day of freedom I ever felt in my life. Because I just knew. I knew that I knew that I knew. If I could do that good a job at getting myself in that big a mess, I'd do a great job getting out of it. If it was only me that was responsible for it. You see, as long as there's somebody else responsible for your circumstances, you don't have full power over your life. When someone else or something else has any influence at all on your life, when you allow it, when you give it power, you do not have the power over your life. The only way to claim your power over your life is to take 100% responsibility for it. I couldn't blame my ex-spouse. I couldn't blame the fact that I dropped out of school. It didn't matter. I couldn't blame any of those things. It was me. I created it. And I was going to create the way out. This is the way to get ready for a breakthrough. We're going to start today and take responsibility. So what I want you to do, I hope you got a pen. Accept responsibility in your words. If you don't have the words for it, use my words. But write these words down today in your power pages. Today I accept responsibility for everything in my life. Everything good. Everything bad. Everything I'm happy about. And everything that makes me sad to think about. Today I accept responsibility for everything. Good and bad. Take responsibility for it all. It's you that is in charge, not anybody else. If you take that, if you claim it. I have people in my life today. They don't take responsibility for anything in their life. Everything in their life is someone else's responsibility. They're looking to someone else to make them feel good. They're looking to someone else to love them to make them feel good. They're looking to someone else to provide for them. They're looking for someone else to take responsibility. They don't want to take it. They are slaves. You will be a slave to something or someone until you take responsibility for your life. In your own words or in my words, today I accept responsibility for everything in my life. Everything good, everything bad, everything I'm happy about, everything today that makes you sad to think about, you're responsible for it. All of it is the result of my past thinking, my past behavior, my past choices and decisions. Again, my situation did not happen overnight. It was many, many years of my choices, my decisions. Those choices and decisions are actions that were driven by what? My behaviors, which were driven by what? My feelings, which were driven by what? My thinking. My thinking created my situation. Where you're at today, and I hope you're in a great place today. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As a woman thinketh in her heart, so is she. We become what we think about. Take responsibility for that. It is your thinking that has created it. If you've got an ex-spouse out there, you've been putting a lot of things on, just flush it right now, get rid of it, take responsibility. The state of your life didn't occur because of your spouse, your family, your friends, your business, my business, if it's something in your business, or if you don't have a business, your boss, your ex-boss, the economy right now in Detroit, Michigan. Everybody believes they're in a recession. I'm getting calls out of there. I got a guy in our Champions Club who's a CPA. He calls me up. He said, Vic, you won't believe what's going on up here. Everybody thinks we're in a recession, but I think there's opportunity. I said, absolutely right, Doug. There is. There is. Do you believe that there'll be people right now in Detroit in the midst of this huge recession that will make millions and billions of dollars? Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. So it's not the economy that's a result of your circumstance. That's not it. I don't care what business you're in. I don't care if you're in the automotive business in Detroit. That's not the reason for the state of your life. When I did the seminar with Bob Proctor in Vegas last year, it was a couple of weeks after Katrina. I can speak on with moral authority on that because my oldest son lived 200 feet from the ocean in Ocean Springs, Mississippi, and lost everything he had. There are people right now in Mississippi, they're still blaming Katrina for their circumstance. My son just got a great attitude. He spent the last 6 months of his time in the military laying on the ground, sleeping on the ground, looking up at the moon and stars in Iraq. He's happy to be home. He's happy. Katrina was nothing compared to sitting up there in that Humvee every day getting shot at. He just bought his first house. He was living in a rented house that got wiped out, so now he's got his first house. Probably took Katrina for him to get into his own house. We were in Vegas. Dr. Humbert was with us. And it had only happened about 2 weeks. And I said, right now, all you see on the news is about all this stuff that's going on in Mississippi, but there are people that are going to make millions and billions. Laurel Langmire, how many of you ever heard of Laurel Langmire, the millionaire maker? She was with us. 2 weeks after Katrina, Laurel Langmire already was buying real estate in Louisiana with money she borrowed from the government. It's not the economy that's the problem. You're the problem, or you're the solution. It's all your responsibility. Through my thoughts and actions, I have created my current situation, and only through my future thoughts and actions will I live the life I hope for. Today, I claim full responsibility for my life and everything in it. This little act alone, folks, you have no idea how just this one thing can be a phenomenal breakthrough in your life. Now, there's some of you that I know who came in here that already claimed responsibility a long time ago, and you're moving. That's great. But if you're stuck, if you haven't moved anywhere, if there's circumstances in your life, you've been dragging those anchors for a long time, this may be the reason. You have no idea how powerful it is to take responsibility for it. To say, I created it. I created this. And since I created this, I can create anything. And you can. Whatever it is, you have it all. You came through that door a complete person in every way. You already have everything you need to be or do whatever you want to be or do. All you have to do is identify it and learn how to use it. You've already got it. The person who designed you equipped you with it. You already got it. Okay? Today I claim full responsibility for everything in my life and everything in it. Today I claim my power over my life. I still struggle. Today, when something happens, I want to shift the blame somewhere else. I want to give the blame to the person at LaGuardia the other day who canceled our flight, who promised me that our bags would be on the same flight we were on. We arrived in Houston at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Our luggage didn't arrive till 11 o'clock that night. I could put the responsibility on her, but it was my responsibility. I made the decision to go to New York. It was me. There are things we come across in life. There are circumstances. But I made the decision to do that. My son, he made the decision to live 200 feet from the ocean in Ocean Springs. I live on the ocean in Florida. We got a close call a couple years ago where I live at. I made that decision. I have hurricane insurance. And now I just bought a place at the lake that I can escape to if the canes come. There's no loss of life. Then so what? That property we can replace with new and better. Let me tell you what, the biggest boom in the history of Mississippi is going on right now. On Mississippi Gulf Coast, they're building faster. They're replacing 90 years of infrastructure that was wiped out. They're going to replace it in the next 10 years. You think being in construction business is a business to be in Mississippi right now? Real estate business? In our society, we affix some things. We give honor to things. We put significance on things, and one of those things is our signature. You sign your name to a contract. You sign your name to your wedding license. You sign your name when you get your driver's license. You sign your name to get a passport. It has significance. So if you haven't already, I want you to sign your responsibility statement that you're claiming responsibility. I want you to sign it. Take responsibility, take ownership, formally commit to taking responsibility. And then I want you to put, this date is your freedom day, folks, if that's you. Now, again, some of you, you're just reaffirming it. You're already there. You already claim responsibility. This is just reaffirmation for you. But if this is the first time you've ever taken responsibility, it'll be a big day in your life. Circle it on the calendar. You'll remember it. I was driving that little Dodge, smoke coming out the back, going down the interstate, and all of this had come to me, and I'm driving a long ways. I was there in that car when I took responsibility. I can remember it as clearly as if it were today. How many of you are married? Did you get married sitting down?
No, sir.
No, sir. Anybody get married sitting down? Anybody? Okay. Well, the reason we don't get married sitting down, why? Because it's important. We stand up for it. You know, when they swear you in a court of law, do they let you sit down to take the oath? They make you stand up. When you go in the military and you take the oath to go in the military, you think they let you sit down? They make you stand up. So I want everybody to stand up. Because this is important. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to verbalize. You're going to affirm your responsibility statement. You're going to read your responsibility statement. You're going to take your oath of your responsibility statement now. Read it with your heart. I accept responsibility for. Now, we're going to give you some tools today, because when you walk out of that door, see, here's what happens with seminars. We live in a bubble during the seminar, don't we?
Yeah.
What a great world they are. It's a bubble we're in. It is a perfect world, and everyone in it's perfect, and it is so glorious. And then we walk out of that door. Oh, God. We go out to the parking lot. Oh, God. And then life happens. Not very nice out there, is it, Maddie?
No, sometimes not.
Sometimes not. Well, we make decisions in here, and we cannot allow, when we go out that door, to let the world rip that decision from us. And because it's just in the beginning stages, that's what's going to happen if you don't reinforce it. So that's why these power pages are important. And if you have to do that statement, I'll talk about what I did, some of the affirmations I used to get myself out of my circumstance. But if you have to read that 1,000 times a day until you do it, until you feel it, until you know it, you do that. Don't leave this bubble. And go out there and let them take it away from you, because it's yours. Now, something else you got to do besides taking responsibility is you just got to forget about the past. I've had this on my board, my dream board, for more than 10 years. I didn't believe it or follow it for quite a few, but I knew it was important, and I kept it up there. It's by the founder of General Motors, the company today that's struggling to survive. And if they could forget this, if General Motors, the leadership at General Motors, could just go back and read what their founder said, they'd have a turnaround so quick. Forget past mistakes. Forget failures. Forget everything except what you're going to do now and do it. Forget everything except what you're going to do now and do it. Most of us are still living in the past. For years, I regretted that I did not finish college. I kind of regret that when I was there, I didn't go to college. Those classes were just too early. I don't normally get up that early. I tell people, if God wanted me to see the sunrise, He'd have put it about noon. That's really more my time. That's more my time. Well, all my classes, because I was playing sports, all my classes, and all the jocks had to have classes at 8 to 12. They wanted you to be done by noon, and it was just hard. I'd wake up 7 o'clock. I'd look over there. My roommate, he was still asleep. I'd say, heck, he ain't going to class. I ain't going to go to class. Bob, he'd get up. He'd look over at my bed. He'd see me asleep. He said, Vic's not going to class. I ain't going to class. So the two players on the team that came in with the highest GPA and the highest scores had the two worst grades at the end of the first quarter, because we weren't going to school. He went on to become an attorney. He got another roommate. I went to college for 3 years, and I probably got one quarter's credit if you took all those years and added it up. One time I set a team record, the lowest GPA in the history of that team. Not something I'm proud of, but that was my past. And there were opportunities that came along in my life that you had to have a degree. I had a political business one time. I was invited to be an adjunct professor at the University of Florida in one of the best political schools in the country. And it broke my heart, because I had to tell the dean that his university would not let me be an adjunct professor because I did not have a college degree. And that was my past mistakes and past failures that I drug around. I drug that around for years. Those are some of your anchors. You got to forget it. How many of you ever seen or heard Cleve McClary, the Vietnam vet, the paraplegic that lost his eye, lost his arm, lost his leg? But I tell you what, he's powerful. From Pawley Island, South Carolina, he has a acronym that I love, and I still use it today. FIDO. Just think of the dog Fido. Forget it. Drive on. See, he was a Marine, a decorated Marine in Vietnam. That was his attitude. Just forget it. Drive on. Not a lot of opportunities for people without an eye, an arm, and a leg. Cleve McClary just forgot it and drove on. So if I've got an obstacle, I've got a circumstance, things are piling up against me, I could do what I used to do in the past. What did I do in the past? I built some huge monuments to them. See, some of you have been worshiping at the foot of the monument of some past failures and mistakes you've had. You built some huge monuments to them. And every time things go wrong in your life, what do? You go over to that monument and you pray. This is why I'm having the problem I'm having. Because of this that I did in my past life. Because of the mistake you made. We all make mistakes. We all have failures. Doesn't matter. Because the fact of the matter is that there are no mistakes in life. There are only lessons. Where you're going has absolutely nothing to do with where you're at today, except for the fact that you need to learn the lesson from today before you can move on. I could not stand here today had I not been through what I went through in 1996-97. I wouldn't be real. Wouldn't be authentic. I couldn't teach you this stuff if I hadn't been through that. I would not want to go through it again. It doesn't take me a long time to think about it, to get back in that state. I can remember. I don't want to go there again. I would not want to live through it. But to do what I do today, to help the people I help, to lift the people up that I've been able to help, I would do it in a heartbeat. I would volunteer first. I had to learn those lessons. Understand this. Whatever circumstance you have today, if you will stop and learn the lesson, identify the lesson. What is the lesson I need to learn here? James Allen teaches this in As a Man Thinketh. When you learn the lesson will pass away. It will pass away and you will no longer have the circumstance to be presented with a new lesson and a new circumstance. See, I still have challenges. Jim Rohn still has challenges. Bob Proctor still has challenges. We all have challenges. It's learning to live with it differently. It's learning to take responsibility for the circumstance. Circumstances are only neutral. They're not positive or negative. We always think, oh, I'm in a negative circumstance. Elizabeth, did you drive here today? Where'd you drive from? Okay, so maybe if about halfway here, about 7.5 miles here, your car had a flat tire. Kind of a rainy, muggy day out there. You got up, you're dressed, you feel good, you feel nice. Got a flat tire. Bummer. Would that be a negative circumstance? Maybe. Okay. You want to enlighten me?
You never know. I might get to meet somebody.
You might get to meet somebody. See, she brings up something very, very interesting, because circumstances are not negative or positive. They are neutral. The circumstance is neutral. It is not positive or negative. The fact that she had a flat tire is negative perhaps for her. But is it positive or negative for the tire dealer? Positive. Is there anything negative about that for the tire dealer? No. Now, let's say that in the process of them replacing her flat tire, they found out that her brake drums are bad or something else is bad, and if she gets it repaired now, she'll save $400 or $500 later. Is that now positive or negative for her? What happened to the circumstance? The circumstance can't go back and forth. It's either positive or negative, or it's neutral. The circumstance is not positive or negative. So what Bob Proctor taught me was, put the circumstance right out here in front of you. Visualize. It's in a circle. And if you're looking at it from a negative situation, there must be a positive side to it. Everything in life has an equal and an opposite. You would not know what up is if there were not a down. You could not have inside without having what? And you wouldn't know what inside was if you didn't have outside. So you cannot know that. I mean, if it's 15 miles here from your house, how far is it back? It's got to be 15 miles, equal and opposite. So if there is a negative side of the circumstance in that circle, if there's a negative side, there must be what? So if you will stop and put the circumstance in the circle from the negative side, now mentally I walk around to the other side and I look at it from the other side. I just walk right around in my mind to see the positive side of it. And I'll just tell you that every bad thing at the time, it seemed bad. Even before my terrible years in the mid-90s, even earlier than that in my life, I can go back and think of all the bad situations in my life. Every single one of them, in the end, was very, very positive. It seemed negative at the time. Napoleon Hill says in Think and Grow Rich, in every adversity there is what? A seed of what? Of equivalent benefit. In every adversity. That's just another way of saying there's a positive side to every negative. So the circumstance you're in appears negative to you because that's the only perspective that you have now. You're standing over here. You're looking at it now from your perspective. Change your perspective. You'll change the circumstance. When you change that circumstance, the way you feel about it, you can deal with it. A lot of times, you'll find out you're really excited about what this side of it holds for you. So just forget the mistakes. Forget the failures. They're lessons. Learn the lesson. When you learn the lesson, it's gone. If you want to get rid of circumstance in your life, I'll tell you what, right now, learn the lesson. Learn it. And once you've learned it, it's gone for good. It'll never come back as long as you've learned the lesson. I had a lot of lessons I had to learn, especially financially and financial responsibility and other things. Learn those lessons, and they'll be gone. One of the greatest quotes that I had that I found, Seeds of Greatness, and of course, Dennis, I had just a blessing in my life and a dream come true to speak with Dennis at the 2004 event to interview him. The very first personal development program I ever bought in my life was The Psychology of Winning by Dr. Dennis Waitley, the number one selling audio program of all time in our industry. And he wrote this in Seeds of Greatness. It's not what you are that holds you back. It's what you think you're not. It's everything that you think you're not that's holding you back right now. You go through this comparison game like most humans do, and you're comparing yourself to somebody else, and you're saying, I don't have what they've got. That's not what's holding you back. It's what you think you're not that's holding you back. You've got it all. You really do. I know there's people that make 100 times more income than you do who aren't as intelligent as you are. Who aren't as attractive as you are. I've seen some ugly rich people. There's 46,000 millionaires in Palm Beach County, Florida. You want to see some ugly rich people? Go to Palm Beach. I don't care what handicap you think you have. I don't care what it is you think about yourself that you don't have. That's not the reason you're where you're at. It has nothing to do with it. Because there's someone with that very same handicap who has made millions or billions, who has become, you know, a religious, spiritual leader or whatever. I've got friends of mine who have ADD, ADHD. And some of them, that's an anchor for them. And they remind you that they have it. Every time they make a mistake, it's not them that made the mistake, it's ADD, ADHD. Well, there was an interesting story in Forbes magazine a couple years ago. I believe the number is 21% of the CEOs of the Fortune 500 companies have ADD or ADHD. Quite frankly, some of the characteristics of ADD and ADHD are absolutely, positively powerful tools to have in business. They're blessings. Whatever it is you may have, it's not the reason why. It has nothing to do with it. You got to forget that stuff. You just got to forget the past mistakes. You got to forget the past failures. You got to forget what you didn't do. And focus on where you're going. You cannot go where you want to go as long as you're dragging those anchors behind.